You are listening to Beefcake's Bootcamp, the last stop before deploying to the front lines in the fight against white genocide. All right, glad to see we're getting some feedback from listeners, questions and comments and all that sort of stuff. I wanted to start addressing some questions people have been asking me that they've been getting from anti-whites in our little mailbag here. Yes, Beefcake's Bootcamp has a mailbag. Mailbag time, troops. And first out of the mailbag happens to be, what do I say when an anti-white tells me that in front of an audience nobody is being forced to interracially marry? It's not what you tell them, it's how you question them. And remember, I like turning everything around into a question whenever possible. You know, if I make a statement that sounds good here because I'm thinking out loud, if you can think of a way to rephrase that into a question to the anti-white, that's pretty good. But you can ask them, well, what happens when there are groups of people forced to live with each other over a long-term scale? You and I both know that that causes them to eventually interbreed together. You can put lions and tigers in the same cage and you force them to live together. They will readily mate with each other. That eventually happens. Eventually, even if I don't agree with miscongeniation, and by the way, you would call me an evil racist Nazi who wants to kill 6 million Jews if I did, but you force people to live together with non-members of their race, you deny them what is supposed to be an inalienable human right, the right for a group of people to have an exclusive place for their people to live. You deny them this, and then you turn around and you try saying, oh, nobody's forcing the blending on you, even though you know very well on a long-term scale that blends an entire people out of existence. Why is it okay that my race is not allowed to have anywhere exclusive for our people to live to preserve our people long-term? Why do you think my race deserves to be blended out of existence? It doesn't matter if people aren't being forced to on an individual level. You know they readily will eventually blend themselves out of existence when they're forced to live with people of different races. You know that that eventually wipes them out, and you know that assimilation is genocide. You know it was genocide when it was done to the Aboriginal people. Why is it okay to deny my race an exclusive area to live large enough for our long-term sustenance in order for us to preserve our people? What justifies that double standard? Why is only my race not allowed to have anywhere exclusive for our own people? And you ask them that because they're trying to say is that nobody's forcing the situation on these people. But this anti-white would be the first person to call people an evil racist Nazi who wants to kill 6 million Jews if they heard that person say that they disagreed with interracial marriage on a moral level because eventually it wipes out their race. These same anti-whites that try saying it's not being forced on anyone, these are the same who are going to try to say that you're evil and wrong and bad if you won't get with the program and accept and tolerate people who want to interracially marry in only white countries. They sure won't complain when people aren't allowed to live on the island of Japan if they choose to marry somebody who's non-Japanese, that they have to move somewhere else. You don't see these anti-whites coming out calling them names. Okay, they're only saying it to white people, and you ask them why it's okay for my people to be denied an area exclusive to ourselves for our long-term sustenance and our long-term preservation, and why you would say that this isn't being forced on people when you know they're being forced to live together and that they're not allowed to have anywhere exclusive. You actually think that people are going to buy that nobody's forcing it on people when you're denying them a place of their own to live? What makes that okay to deny an entire race of people their own place to live when you know that eventually blends them out of existence? And they can't, they might try to be silly and say, well, on a long-term scale, how do you know it wouldn't wipe your people out? You can just choose not to interracially marry. Then you can ask them, so you think it's okay for us to put out a public message that telling people not to miscongeniate because that eventually blends their race out of existence? Would you be okay with it if we did that? If we said that miscongeniation would eventually wipe out our race and therefore we are morally opposed to it? What would you have to say about that? So now they have to either defend miscongeniation or defend you on being able to publicly advocate against it. And if they want to say no, that would be evil and racist. So you're saying my people aren't allowed to have anywhere exclusive for us to live to preserve our own people large enough for our long-term sustenance. We're not allowed to have that. And if we're morally opposed to interracial marriage, you think that we should be called names. If every single Asian country had been flooded with non-Asians and they were forced to live with non-Asians and not even allowed to set up even a city for their own people anywhere without being forced to take in non-Asians, and one of them said they were against interracial marriage, would you call them names too? Would you call them names like racist and tell them nobody's forcing the interbreeding on them if they happen to point out that that double standard leads to a world without their race existing in the future? We are well aware here at Beefcakes Bootcamp. The whole reason we're here is we know that if our race is forced to live with non-whites on a long enough term scale, it eventually blends us out of existence. Nothing against the non-whites. All right, this isn't about hating other people. For those of you who are new here, Beefcake does not hate other races. Beefcake loves other races. Yes. Yeah, you just heard me say it. I love black people and Asian people and red people and all the people in this world. Of course, I love my own race most of all. So naturally, I'm going to be the most vocal about the preservation of my own race. But I am fully supportive of any black person who says they want black countries to be exclusive for black people and the long-term preservation of their race. Yes, if a black man tells me that he wants his race to exist in the long-term future and that they want exclusive areas to live for their own people to preserve their own gene pool, all right. That's great, man. I totally agree. I want that for my race too. If an Asian person tells me that he's personally insulted by it when he sees a white man with an Asian woman, I'd say I don't agree with it either. This is leading to genocide of my race because it's only happening in white countries. You know, most Asian countries that I know of, you can't become a permanent resident of that country unless you happen to be ethnically of that same type of Asian background. You know, and someone go ahead, throw the muddy boot at me, correct me if I'm wrong on this detail, but as far as I know, you're going to find some extreme difficulty getting permanent residency in any Asian country if you're non-Asian, even if you are Asian and you're not ethnically of that particular kind of Asian. So they're pretty picky on that stuff, and no one complains. And I don't complain about that. And if some of those countries don't have those policies in place, and an Asian person wants to see those policies put in place, if, say, Vietnam doesn't have anything officially on the books like that, although I believe it does, let's just say that it doesn't, and an Asian person tells me that he wants his own race to have that too, more power to you. All right, I agree. I want that for my own people too. It sounds crazy. How can I say I love other races and yet I want places to live for my own people without those other races living there? Well, it's because I don't want to see my race get blended out of existence. I don't want to see my race continue to go down this path of genocide that leads to a world without my people existing in the future. I don't want that. I want my own race to exist. It is nothing against anyone else, and I know that bad things happen to white people at the hands of non-whites. I'm well aware of this, but if I focus on those things, I'm going to end up talking about things that my enemy uses to vilify me. This is one of the hardest things for people to wrap their mind around, especially the people that have spent too much time in the news article section over at a site like Stormfront. And I've been observing this a bit, guys. I've seen what goes on with the swarm. I click on where did you post the mantra today, and I check out some of the places where a lot of these topics are taking place. You know, I follow up and I lurk because I want to come back here with a lesson plan for everybody, and I want to be able to say what to stay away from and what to do. And I'm still seeing people when an anti-white asks them, "Why don't you like black people? Why don't you want to live with black people?" I'm still seeing some of you guys out there, and if the boot fits, wear it. Okay, if it doesn't, if you've been good and you've been keeping it to white genocide and talking about how our race has been denied the right to preserve our own race and this is genocide, yes, it is genocide to deny a race what's necessary for them to preserve their race. Duh. Of course that's genocide. All right, if you're keeping it to white genocide and you're doing a good job with that, excellent. Excellent. But if you're one of those guys who decides to let the anti-white control the conversation and tell him what you don't like about black people, guess what? Guess what you just did? Yeah, you tailgated. You went and you decided to follow the anti-white around and say negative things about black people, and he just made an example out of you. Now the audience sees you as a person who's just bitter because he hates black people. So keep it to white genocide. We're not here to say negative things about other races. You know, that's if someone tries saying that you hate other races, don't say I love other races. You heard me say that a second ago, but that's not how we respond to the anti-whites. Because again, it's following them around. It's allowing them to control the conversation. We don't want to do this. What we do, however, is we turn it around on the anti-white and we ask them a question based on it. If they say, why don't you like black people? You ask them a question based on that. You say, if every single black country had been flooded with non-blacks and black people were denied the right, the human right, to have exclusive places for their own people to live in order to preserve their own people long term, would you ask them what they felt about other races living with them that they were forced to live with? Would you actually ask them what they think about this other racial group? No, you only try making white people look like bad guys by asking them what they think about non-whites living with them when we are forced to live with non-whites everywhere in order to get us to blend ourselves out of existence. Why do you only hate white people? Why do you hate white people so much? What justifies these conditions that have been imposed on all white countries that lead to a world without white people? What justifies white genocide? And I've played around with this one quite a bit. These are some of my favorite questions. You know, I want to get them to the point where they are justifying genocide. And then, of course, you know, I don't necessarily always go straight for it, and normally you don't always have the opportunity to, because first they're going to try pretending race doesn't exist. You know, you point out the double standard. Nobody's flooding every single Asian country with non-Asians and telling them race isn't real and that genocide is impossible, and once they all assimilate, all their race problems will be over. You know, no one's doing this there. You know race exists fully well. You know who's who, especially when it comes to vilifying people throughout history, all that stuff. They're trying to say genocide's impossible because they support that genocide, and you can ask them about that too. You know, you can say, you're saying that genocide is impossible. Naturally, a genocidal maniac would deny a race even exist who he wants to disappear. Why do you hate white people so much? You support our genocide so much that you would say we're not even worthy of existing. That's what they're saying. They're not even saying genocide's impossible. They're saying you're not worthy of preserving your own people. They say it's not worth preserving because it doesn't exist. And you question them based on this. It's not difficult to do. You know, you draw them out of there, and then when they can't squirm around the pretending that race doesn't exist thing and that it's impossible, you know, then you ask them what justifies these conditions being posed on only white countries that leads to our race not existing. And I did it just earlier today with a guy in front of an audience, and he, you know, first he tries saying race doesn't exist and that white people are a social construct, and then, you know, he can't squirm away from that one, and he takes the bait when I tell him what justifies these conditions, you know, imposed on white countries, and he starts saying the bad things white people did in history that lead to, whatever bad things happen whenever white people try preserving their own people. And I said, you can't justify the genocide of our race no matter what we've done in the past that's bad. I wasn't going to try to getting into him with debating whether the Holocaust was real or whether slavery happened exactly the way our historical textbooks say it did, or what, you know, happened with moving the Indians off their land, any of that stuff that he brought up. All I did was point out you're justifying genocide with bad things white people have done. No matter what we've done, we haven't lost our right to preserve our own people. And he comes right around and he insists that we have lost our right to preserve our own people. And I said, so first you try saying my race doesn't exist. Then you blame my race for every bad thing that happened in history. Then you say we don't have the right to support to preserve our own people. You're justifying genocide. You just tried saying my race doesn't exist, and then a moment later, you tried justifying the genocide of my race. We don't have to justify our right to exist. And I left it on that. His next post was, yes, you do have to justify your right to exist. And this one was kind of tempting, so I figured I did one more. I said to him, so you support the genocide of my race, and you expect me to justify to you that we have a right to exist? Of course, only a genocidal maniac would insist that a group of people justify their right to exist when they are supporting the genocide of that people, when they're advocating the genocide for those people. And I just left the comment at that. He just went bonkers, swearing, insulting, threatening to hunt me down and cut my man parts off and gouge out my eyes and all that fun stuff they love to do. But at this point, it doesn't matter. I don't care. I'm not going to tell him how tough I am. Beefcake is not about to go tell an anti-white how tough Beefcake is. Unimportant. Not necessary. All I want him to do is to do exactly what he did. First he tries saying my race doesn't exist. And the reason I kind of like him to try doing that one at first is because it's one thing that so many anti-whites try doing with other pro-whites that still have their head in their fourth point of contact, that if we can get these guys to destroy that part of their own terminology in front of an audience, it helps out everyone else who's pro-white too. Granted, those pro-whites aren't doing us enough when they're talking about the irritants, but it does help everyone who's pro-white, when we manage to expose the anti-white rhetoric for what it is. That's what we're doing here at the Swarmanet Bucks. We are imposing our own terminology, and yes, it does make it a friendlier environment for other pro-whites to talk about what they want to talk about. But again, that doesn't get accomplished what we want to accomplish. Long-term preservation of our own people requires us taking control of the message that our enemies have used to uphold this anti-white system for so long. And so it helps when the anti-whites actually first try saying race doesn't exist, because then when they start saying the negative things that white people have done in history for us to lose the right to preserve our own people, for us to deserve genocide, when they try justifying our genocide, and you can then point out, first you tried saying my race doesn't exist in order to say it doesn't have a right to preserve itself, that it's impossible to genocide us because you support that genocide, then you denied this genocide was happening. Ah, that's what I was looking for. I was thinking while I was talking. First they'll try saying race doesn't exist, that genocide's impossible, and then they'll try saying the situation isn't justice, isn't genocide. They'll try saying that this isn't genocide, that this assimilation isn't genocide. You point out under international law, anything that permanently gets rid of a racial group is genocide, and that on a long-term timetable, this eventually does blend my people out of existence because my people have been denied anywhere exclusive to live. What justifies conditions imposed on my race that leads to the destruction of our race? What did my race do in history? And bait them with it. Come on, guys, put out the bait. What did my people do in history that's so bad that we've lost our right to preserve our own race? Ask it like that, because you're actually bringing up history. You're not saying anything specific. You're bringing it up because they really want to latch onto that history. Anti-whites hate our history so much that they really, really want to jump on that history bandwagon. They want to talk about our history and what we have done in history to lose our right to preserve our own race. They want to say it so bad when you bring up white genocide. Let them. Remember, the enemy loves to roll around in gray goo. If you don't know what gray goo is, listen to my two podcasts where gray goo is in the title, and you'll get an idea what it is. Our enemy loves to roll in that gray goo, and they really want to talk about the bad things white people did in history. If you remember anything else from this podcast, remember, bait them by asking them what white people did in our history to lose our right to preserve our own people. And they will, they love grabbing that one. For them not grabbing that one, I think they'd have trouble sleeping at night and get the jitters and start jonesing to tell you what bad things your people did in history. They're so heavily conditioned and programmed to do that. By all means, put that bait on the hook. All right. They just tried saying a moment ago your race doesn't exist in order to say genocide's impossible. There's nothing to preserve. And you point out that they're just saying that because they support that genocide and that assimilation is genocide. They want to tell you the situation isn't genocide. A moment ago they tried saying genocide's impossible. Now they want to say the situation isn't genocide. And then you point out the situation is genocide, and you ask them what justifies it with our history. Remember, you just pointed out that it is genocide. Then you ask them what justifies it based on our history. What did white people do in our history to lose our right to preserve our own race? What particular things did we do that's so bad that our race is genetically evil and needs to be blended out with everybody else to make the world a better place? And again, we're putting in some of the phrases they like. Okay, because, ooh, now I can justify why the world's a better place by blending out white people. Then they try justifying the situation of these conditions imposed on our race that leads to the destruction of our race. And then you can go right down the line. And this is how I posted it earlier today. I just forgot that the middle one. I was trying to get it out of my mouth. I had a beefcake mind block there for a second, but that one was saying the situation isn't genocide. And so what you do is you first get them to say that your race doesn't exist. Then you try to get them to say the situation isn't genocide, and then you get to point out that now they're justifying genocide. Bam! And that's where we like to leave it on. Leave it on that in front of the audience, because once you do that, the eyes of the ghoul are glowing yellow in front of that audience. They see them for what they are, and ghouls go on the attack when they are exposed. They are going to call you names. Ooh, name calling. They're going to threaten you. Guy who has no idea who you are in the real world is going to threaten to do things to you. It generally involves your reproductive organs. Yes, they're going to go there. Ghouls love to attack that. That's what ghouls like to do. They're going to come out there, or they're just going to threaten to beat you up, maybe, if they're trying to keep it clean. The yellow-eyed ghoul trying to keep it clean after justifying the genocide of your race. They'll try to do that too. Once you go down that line, and I kind of like how they do that. I like how they don't want to come out and justify genocide right away. I like how first they try saying race doesn't exist, then they try saying the situation isn't genocide, and then they try justifying genocide. Because when you can point it out in caps, use the word, first you said genocide was impossible for my race, capitalize impossible. Then you tried saying the situation that leads to a world without my people existing in a future isn't genocide. Okay, then you can capitalize the situation, or genocide. Genocide's always good to capitalize. And now you're justifying, capitalize the word justifying, the genocide of my race. And leave them on that. And there's no reason to stay in there with them any longer, unless they really pull this one out themselves and they say, you need to justify to me why your race still has a right to exist. Then you can point out only a genocidal maniac would insist that a group of people facing genocide need to justify their right to exist. And leave it on that, because you just pointed out that they dug their hole even deeper. But the point is, once you've made an example out of this guy, get out of there. Get out of there, because the longer you stay in there, the more likelihood you're going to make a mistake, stick your foot in your mouth. And besides that, this guy's already exposed to the audience. Somewhere else, there's an anti-white that needs the light shine on his yellow eyes, doesn't he? Yeah, somewhere else, there's another anti-white that needs to be humiliated in front of an audience. And a lot of them aren't even aware that they're humiliating themselves. They're giving themselves high fives because they ran off the pro-white after they justified genocide. They don't realize that they just lost the audience, and that that audience will never again believe an anti-white when they say race doesn't exist. That audience is never again going to believe that the situation we're facing isn't genocide, because the same person who tried saying race doesn't exist and that the situation isn't genocide just tried justifying genocide too. And of course they know who white people are once they justify the genocide of white people. Once they justify it, they're acknowledging the first two things that they tried denying. So the audience isn't going to forget that stuff, and that anti-white cannot reclaim that audience, not with a three-page essay. In fact, hopefully they do write a three-page essay on it. Hopefully they just dig themselves in even deeper. At this point, there is no recovering from them. They are in a territory they have never been in before. They're all of a sudden having to think on their own about how to support what they support. You're not here to convert the ghoul. You're here to expose them. And so anyway, that first question that was asked, that was a very good question. As far as what do we do when they say that it's about love, that it's not genocide when two people interracially breed together. I hope my earlier answer to that gave you the right way to answer that, as far as saying, well, the situation is being forced on our people that we're not allowed to have, we're anywhere exclusive for our own people to live, to preserve our own people. Of course, you know that that in the long term, that blends our people out of existence, that eventually they all do blend together, and therefore that is genocide. You can put lions and tigers in the same zoos, and when you're getting ligers because they're reproducing together, you can't say to the American Zoological Foundation, or whatever the name of that organization is that makes sure that things are being done properly in zoos, you can't tell them, oh, I didn't force them to breed together. What did you think they were going to do, dum-dum? You put them in the same pens together, of course they're going to breed together. Stupid. You put coyotes and wolves in the same pen together, of course they're going to eventually mongrelize themselves. So what happens when you force human beings to live in the same places together on a long term and you deny a group of people the inalienable human right to have anywhere exclusive for their own people to preserve themselves? You know that that eventually wipes them out. Of course that's genocide, and you support it by saying it isn't genocide. Why do you hate white people so much? Why do you support the genocide of white people? What did we do in our history that was so bad that we lost our right to preserve our own people? Ask them these things. Remember, the best way to answer a question is with a question of your own. And you make a statement once they've justified genocide. And that statement you're making is not to them. When you make that final statement, first you tried saying genocide was impossible for my race when you said my race doesn't even exist. Then you tried saying the situation that would eventually blend my people out of existence isn't genocide. And now you're justifying genocide. Those aren't questions, admittedly, those are statements. But you're not talking to the anti-white at this point, you're addressing the audience. You're like a guy on a stage somewhere in a stage theater who's just caused the enemy to run himself onto a pike in front of the audience, and then you turn around to the audience with your arms spread wide and your palms turned at the sky, and you say, "And there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. I did not kill him, he killed himself." You know, that is basically what you're doing here. You're causing the anti-white to expose themselves as the genocidal maniac. Then you point it out to the audience. It's a real quick format here. And again, stick to white genocide. We're not going to try justifying what our race did that's so wonderful we have a right to exist. Because you don't have to do that. That's an inalienable human right, the right to preserve your own race. Don't let them squirm away from that. We're not here to say what we don't like about non-whites. You don't have to proclaim you love them either, but you point out the ridiculousness of the question if they ask you. Show them the double standard and then ask them if they would ask that same question to a non-white if their race was facing the genocide of assimilation. You ask them that. You know, again, question them on their questions until you can finally draw them out, and then you can go down that list. First, you tried saying genocide's impossible. Now, if they don't try saying genocide's impossible, because some of them are so well aware of it, they assume it's well known that white people will get blended out of existence, you don't need them to go down that full list. You know, the ultimate one, that the number one thing you want them to do in front of that audience is to justify our genocide. They can't, don't let them squirm away from that. Don't answer any of their questions and count how many times you've asked them that question. Keep count for that audience. They need to be aware of it. Keep count of it. How many times that you have asked them the question, what justifies the genocide of my race? What did my race do in its history that is so bad we lost the right to preserve our own race? Because if you use the word genocide, what justifies the genocide of my own race? They might not take the bait on that one. The hook's a little bit too conveniently exposed. Some still will. Don't be surprised if they do, but you're covering your hook a little bit better for the fish if you say, what did my race do in its history to lose the right to preserve our own race? What did we do that's so bad that the world is safer without white people? They so want to answer that question. Give it to them. Let them answer it. Then just point out they justified genocide. All right. So anyway, I hope that answered your one question. I wanted to give a little bit more information, a little refresher course on what our methodology looks like. Remember, you can point out you said genocide's impossible. You tried saying the situation wasn't genocide, and now you're justifying the genocide.
All right, platoon, that's it for today's lesson. I want you to go drop the mantra 50 times and report back.